Patriots, and it is, let me see if anybody can hear me. Here we go. Can we get, we have audio, Wi-Fi, just real quick, make sure I've got that. There we go. Excellent. Thank you. So good evening, Patriots. Today is Sunday, April 14th in the year 2024. As you know, I now have two Tibetan Mastiffs, and there's quite a story to it that I wanted to share tonight. And talk a little bit about the breed. They're very interesting animals, dogs, which are now part of my family. And a pretty amazing creature that they are. They are extremely intelligent and very independent, and yet amazingly gentle, yet fierce like a lion. And it's, we're going to talk all about that, their history a little bit, and just the whole story behind how these came into my life, which is really special. And I will tell you, they have transformed my entire life already. It's an interesting experience. I will tell you, to have, originally it was going to be one dog, and then it became two, and I didn't think two was even possible, and now I can't even imagine not having two. So we'll talk all about that in just a moment. One of the things that we have to be pretty aware of right now, for obvious reasons, is the whole issue around emergency preparedness, especially when we start talking about sending missiles to other countries. Most effective and easy thing to do to cripple a nation is an EMP. So that's something you want to avoid if at all possible. And really what ends up happening is that an EMP ends up destroying key aspects of electronics. It just can't be replaced quickly. And so we end up with a situation where things that we rely on just functionally don't work. They become junk unless you are prepared to protect them. I have an EMP shield on my Jeep. My dad has it on his Explorer. We have them on the ATV, the house, the whole thing. EMPshield.com. EMPshield.com. And your promo code is BARDS. Imagine this being a very sophisticated surge protector. Essentially, it's an American-owned company, veteran-owned company. It's been tested at the best labs for EMP protection, and EMP level 1, EMP level 2, and EMP level 3, including lightning strikes and solar flares. So all these things are relevant in this day and age. It's highly recommended you take a look at getting one of these. The offer is great. You just go to empshield.com. You use your promo code BARGE. You get $50 off and you get free shipping. So check it out. I highly recommend them. They're not difficult to install. And they have an amazing resource library to do it yourself. And they're worth every bit. So again, empshield.com. empshield.com. Promo code is BARDS for $50 off and free shipping. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about these wonderful dogs that have come into my life. A woman by the name of Susan reached out to the ministry that one of the people in the ministry that Michelle and Leah have, and it's part of their healing ministry, and was trying to get hold of me and had talked about the desire to tithe one of their beautiful animals. And they were just now starting to breed Tibetan Mastiffs. Now, I'd honestly never heard of a Tibetan Mastiff until this. And as I've learned this breed, they're absolutely magnificent, but they're unique. And they're a very unique creature, dog in that category. They're very ancient. They actually have more in common with a wolf than they actually have in modern breeds. The Tibetan Mastiff is a large animal when it grows up, and it's originally was bred to protect the monasteries in Tibet. And the way they are bred is to be able to operate independently on their own. So instead of being a dog that is trained to do tricks and so forth, these dogs are very independent, and they will, as it's described in many different ways, these dogs seek to know how you think, not do what you say. And for that reason, they have what they say is a higher calling. That in fact, as you work with them, they will decide at times if you're one, you have to be trusted by them. And then once they get trusted in you, if they decide that your directions are in conflict with what their greater mission is, which is a protector, then they will execute their mission first before they respond to you. It's a very interesting breed to begin with. And just to get the concepts of how to train them is a whole nother level. Now, this is, as anybody that's had puppies, and it's been a long time since I've had a puppy, especially the last one I had was a Newfoundland. There's a lot to having a puppy. And so when Susan reached out to me and said that she would like to tithe one of their puppies from the litter, I was really honored. And I didn't really know what to do with it at first until I realized that, quite frankly, I had been praying on what to do about a dog. I wanted a dog. And suddenly I realized that what I'm looking at here is what I was thinking about with the dog. I was looking at getting something like Joe, which was what Pete Chambers has, which is a Belgian. And he's actually a Dutch Shepherd is what he is. And so that was my thought. Now, Dutch Shepherds are a highly trainable dog. They're also high energy and require an enormous amount of your time to be able to maintain them and train them and keep them focused. So as I was praying on that, I realized that what had happened is that God had intervened and said, I'm going to get you a dog, just not the one you thought you wanted, the one you actually needed. And that's how this really began. So Susan and their family have what is called the Watered Garden. And you find that at www.watered-garden.net. So it's the Watered Garden. And their story is interesting. There's not a lot on them other than they're a family of 13, and they're located in Grayson County, Virginia, roughly midway between Roanoke and Bristol in the highlands of the southwest Virginia. Our three adult children are out making their own way, while the youngest eight live on the farm and help with the dogs, goats, cattle, rabbits, chickens, ducks, turkeys, and gardens. And they have an amazing family. So I reached out to them, and Susan and I talked, and she agreed that they had one set aside, a target picked for me they thought would be great, which was a male. Initially, it was a female, and they said, no, from what your description of what you wanted to use it for, which was property, to protect the property, especially from coyotes. They felt that the male would be the best, and so they chose what they thought was the best male, and his name is Ezekiel. That was a name that I prayed on. God gave me the name, and so His name is Ezekiel. Now, we'll talk about him. He's got his own characters already. They're pretty coming up pretty well. As I then shared this, and it was my decision to move forward, and I shared it with Michelle and Leah, who, if you know about them, they have done dog care and dog sitting for 15 years. They have a lot of experience. Their first recommendation was get two. And I had really forgotten how difficult it is when you have one and it's a puppy, and how much whining and separation anxiety occurs, and then how much you become the sole pack. So I prayed on it and made the decision, yes, I would get two. So I contacted Susan again, and I said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and get two. They were tithing one, and I said, I'll pick up the other one. And so they selected what they felt was the largest of the females, and her name is Nika, which comes from Veronica, who was Nika was the one who touched Jesus's face. So, and that was another name. And it's interesting because those names were, as I received them, Paul Cantrell had been praying on them and received a very similar, basically received the same names in his prayers of what to name the dog. So it's a pretty amazing thing. So I was going to go, the arrangement was that I was going to come out to the Eclipse event that we just had at Harvest Revival Church, Pastor Neil Peterson. And then I would go from there, travel out to Virginia, reach Virginia, and then turn around and then come back. And then I was going to just have some time with Michelle and Leah to be able to work on how to handle the dog. And so what was a surprise is that I called Susan. She said that they had decided they wanted to come out to the Eclipse event. So the puppies were taken, left their house a couple days before. They had to go to a funeral, and then they traveled all the way out, and they arrived at the Eclipse event. And if you were there, you knew that I was spending a certain point more time in the field with the dogs than I was up on stage. And the dogs were obviously cute as can be, but very attached to the children. They had been under a lot of stress. They were very tired. They hadn't slept much. And Nika, the girl, the female, was a little bit nippy and very high stressed, which, as they had said, was not her normal character. But it's understandable, in fact. And actually, one of the things that got Susan and her family stressed, but actually made me feel very good about the puppy, is that the youngest girl, one of the younger girls, had been handling Nika and had her, and I reached over and moved towards the young girl, and Nika quickly jumped around my back and grabbed my shirt and yanked on my shirt and actually ripped my shirt, which did not bother me at all, because I thought, wow, what an amazing animal that even as a puppy, it sees its role as protecting its owner and its trainer. So very impressive. So we put him in the crate, and then Kim Lumba, who, if you know her, she's in Chet, and she's part of Bars Nation, has been part of us for 4 years. And her daughter is who we call Little Leah. It's Leah, but she's Little Leah. Kim is a professional dog handler and trainer. So Kim stepped in to help in the transition. She did a fantastic job and worked with Nika and worked with Ezekiel and kind of got them settled down for the day of transition. Now, these two puppies are tired. They've been traveling for 2 days, completely unsettled. And the first place they get dropped into is a Bards Fest with speakers and crowds and people. So it was a little bit wild. Now, So Kim spent some time there with them and then worked with me on how to handle some things. And it's been a while, I'm going to be honest. It's been quite a while since I did dog handling. And like I said, the last one I had was a Newfoundland. And that takes me back to 2002 when I had the Newfoundland and did the whole training thing and everything. So anyway, that was a good refresher for me. Now, one of the things that's interesting is Susan and her family played my podcasts for the puppies before they came out, so they got accustomed to hearing my name and my voice, and they used the names that I had chosen, so they got accustomed to hearing their names, which was also impressive. The family went over and above. What they did with these puppies, and as far as a breeder, I've never seen before, and I can't give them enough praise. They worked with the puppies on lead. They worked with the puppies on walking on lead. They worked with the puppies on introducing them to farm animals. They worked with the puppies. Even when they heard that I was going to drive, they started taking the puppies on drives to get them used to riding in the car. So this is really fantastic, it's just an amazing family of what they do. So again, I'm encouraging you to check out what they do. And again, that is www.watered-garden.net. I love the fact, one, they're a big family. Two, I love the fact that they're homestead driven and focused. And this is just a really amazing family. And these dogs are beautiful animals. They really are. Extremely amazing temperament. Once they got settled down, they were fine. And Kim, again, was a big help in helping that transition. It was just really a blessed way it all came together, because we just had the talent right there to help me and help the dogs transition together. So that night, Pastor Neil Peterson was unbelievably supportive. And what he had said was that, naturally, bring the dogs in. So we moved. The crate had been sitting out in the field under supervision for the most part, but we'd put them in the crate and kind of set them out there, covered the crate so it was dark, and kept the dogs away from the crowd. And then we were just kind of let them settle down. And then the family said goodbye and went away. Now, I will be very honest with you. Watching the young girls say goodbye to Nika and Ezekiel was very emotional. They did a beautiful job with these animals, and they were deeply attached, which is understandable. And that's why, I will honestly say, why they are such a great temperament now, because they had so much love in the family, so much care. And this was in this litter, they were very, very concerned about making sure that the dogs went to good homes. So now this is the thing that surprised me. And I'm humbled by all of this. Not only did they offer to tithe a dog, I had been prepared to write her the check for the balance. And so I said to Susan, I said, we need to settle accounts before you leave. And her comment was, no, we just want you to have both dogs, and we just want them to go to a good home. And we just asked that, if you like what you like from us, if you like our animals, then just let people know who we are and what we do. And of course, I'm more than taken by these puppies and who they are and what they are. We'll get into the Tibetan Mastiff here in just a moment. So they ended up tithing two dogs to me, which was not a unsubstantial amount of a financial donation. And they're a very well bred and very expensive animal. So they also left me with the crate, which I had called her because I was going to go out and buy a crate. She said, no, we're going to give you the crate that they have. And they provided toys, and they provided snacks, and the younger girl even made them doggy cupcakes before she left with little flags on them. And it was absolutely beautiful. And I will be very honest, still chokes me up when I think about just how much love these animals had and how much these young adults loved them. So that night we moved the crate inside and walked the dogs. Michelle and Kim Limba helped in a great deal. And walked the puppies in and moved the crate into the church and then upstairs where I was staying. And what was really amazing is the minute that transition happened, the puppies settled down. It's the family that they were attached to said goodbye, and the bonding with me began. So we still a little bit of work, obviously, to get the transition, but then we moved it upstairs in the church where I stayed there for a day. And then the next day walked and had the opportunity, because Michelle was there the next day, was able to help me a bit just with some of the control elements of walking the dogs, working with two dogs, etc., that is a new experience for me, I'll be very honest. And then I stayed on at the church at the request of and the offer of Pastor Neil Peterson. We moved everything back down so it was easier to get in and out, but then I stayed on the church until Friday. And what that gave me is I had full access to the gym as well, which was fantastic because not only could I take them outside and walk, but these are highly energetic little puppies, and it allowed me to open up the gym and nobody was in there and just let them run and play and then also be able to do a little bit of obedience training. The obedience, they're funny about obedience. They learn very quickly. And they're an amazingly smart animal. But they are very much in the idea that they will do what they determine when they want to determine it. As you know, recall is a big issue for a dog. You have to call it back. I will assure you, recall is not on the top of their list. In fact, the National Kennel Association says that recall is one of these things they are very bad at and that they do not recommend taking it into public spaces off a lead. And I can completely confirm that 100%. They do not like to be recalled unless they want to be recalled. Under lead, and you're walking them under lead or leash, that's fine. But when you're playing, they don't like to. So we've had a couple little incidents in the first couple days, more about establishing kind of the alpha role. And it's not a big deal. They were, again, fairly stressed the first couple of days, but amazingly, they have settled in so beautifully. So let's talk a little bit about the Tibetan Mastiff itself. It's an amazing animal, and it has quite an interesting history to it. Now, the Tibetan Mastiff is considered, actually, as I said earlier, a primitive breed. It typically retains its hardiness, which would be required to survive in Tibet. And also in the higher altitude regions. Its instinctive behaviors, including canine pack behavior, contributed, this is right out of Wikipedia, contributed to the survival of the breed in harsh environments. It is one of the few primitive dog breeds that retains a single estrus per year instead of two, even at much lower altitudes and is much more in much more temperate climates than in the native climate. Now, obviously, estrus cycle is the set of recurring psychological changes induced by reproductive hormones in a female of any sort of the mammalian subclass. So, all right. So the characteristic is also found in wild canids, such as the wolf and other wild animals. Since its estrus usually takes place during late autumn, most Tibetan Mastiff puppies are born between December and January. Now, the Tibetan Mastiff has a double coat, and it's a long double coat subject to climate and found in a wide variety of colors, including solid black, black and tan, various shades of red, from pale gold to deep red, and bluish gray, which is a dilute black, often with white markings. It says, and it goes on to say, as of 2014, some breeders have begun marketing white Tibetan Mastiffs. These dogs are actually very pale gold and not truly white. The coat of the Tibetan Mastiff lacks the unpleasant big dog smell that affects many large breeds, and I can attest to that. It's very interesting. Having had a Newfoundland, they get very musty smelling. The coat, whatever its length or colors, sheds dirt well and also odors. And although the dogs shed somewhat throughout the year, there is generally one great molt in late winter or early spring, and sometimes another lesser molt in the late summer or early autumn. They tend not to shed much at all. And that's amazing to me because these animals have been in the Jeep and they've been in their kennel. I haven't found any shedding whatsoever, which is really amazing. Their coat is extremely thick. Tibetan Mastiffs are shown under one standard in the West, but separated by Indian breed standard into two varieties, which is the lion head, which is one variety, has a huge, it looks like a lion mane around it, and the other is a tiger head, which is the larger, shorter hair breed. The dogs I have would probably fit more into the, tiger head model. Now, as a flock guardian dog, and this is what it is, in Tibet and in the West, it uses the usual livestock guardian tactics, barking, scent marking perimeters. They love to mark everything. I'm going to tell you, they love to mark. and Ezekiel loves to mark constantly. And so you have to really watch him inside because he definitely likes to mark. And to warn away predators and avoid direct confrontations. Tibetan Mastiffs can run up to a speed. This is what is amazing about these animals. They can go from 0 to almost 20 miles an hour in very short distances and in intensely fast bursts. You see that in the when they play. I've never seen animals that can move of their size move so fast and so sprint driven, especially Nika, the female, who tends to be a little bit more spry and quick-footed than Ezekiel. But they literally bolt, and they can move so fast at almost 20 miles an hour that if you lose lead, you're not catching them. Just bottom line, you're not going to catch them. Amazingly agile for the size of animal that they are. So the idea basically is that they are intended to be a kind of launch and forget type animal, meaning that they were trained so that and bred so that they would be usually under chain during the day, or under, they would put on a leash or a chain during the day that at the monasteries, and then at night they would release them and they would patrol the perimeter and around the monasteries to protect against everything from marauders to wolves to whatever other critters were up there in those regions. So they tend to, they work best in packs. As an animal, it is better not on a Tibetan Mastiff to get one. As I later learned, the decision was absolutely on, not only was the advice by Michelle and Leah spot on, but it was also in line with what the Tibetan Mastiff breed demands, that they say get two, not one, because they do tend to be a pack animal, meaning they pack up well. And you can see it in these two. These two fight, not fight, but they play rough. I wish to say it that way. They play rough. But and then once they have their fun and play and get their puppy energy out, they tend to listen very well. Before then, they're not going to listen too well. And I'm sure that, and if Kim's listening, she's probably rolling her eyes going, you need to do certain things. And it will happen. But the issue right now, and really the most important piece for these young puppies here, since they're at 13 weeks, is to let them exhaust their energy as much as I can under controlled circumstances. And then, so they can rest, keep them de-stressed. And then when I get back to Oregon, which will be in about 6 days, then I'm going to be able to do a lot more obedience training with them and just general working training around the farm. And they'll be more in a stable environment in a more regular pattern. And also the next piece is a lot of socialization. So not only socializing with people, but also socializing with dogs. And here's part of the reason why. And we just saw this happen tonight. They are very bonded now to me, in spite of, I mean, it's very quick because this has only been since Monday last week. And they're very bonded to me. And they're fearless. I will tell you that right now. That's one of the things I love about the dog. There is a dog here. If you were at Bard's Fest last fall, you knew that there was a black dog floating around here. He's kind of the farm dog, they call him. But he went after Joe, Pete's dog, and almost hurt Joe. And just because he got Joe in the jugular on the side of the neck unexpectedly. So I haven't trusted that dog. Now, Willie has been very gracious and chained him up since I've been here. But the interesting thing is he's come out on the porch a couple of times because we're right across the way from Willie's place at Madeline Farms right now. And these two totally stand up to him. They don't care. And today the dog was coming down towards our dogs, my dogs, and I just stepped forward. And before I knew it, I had Ezekiel racing to my side, barking. Now, this is a 13-week-old puppy that is just ferocious. And when he needs to be. So this is an important reason to also socialize, because as Nikki stopped by on her way home tonight. And so she stopped by to say hello and to see the puppies again before she headed back. And she's driving tonight, so keep your prayers up for Nikki. And as she came in, literally the same thing. And they both were barking, and Nika just raced right in front of me and just started barking at her. And all I had to do was just get down and just pet Nika a bit and calm her down. And then immediately they started socializing well. They do socialize with people extremely well, especially children. But once they bond, they like to know what's going on in the house and outside of the house, not just one way or the other. Once they bond and they know who's in their tribe, so to speak, or their pack, and what the perimeters are of their property, they are literally a fire and forget type lives. As they say, they're a property manager, not so much a livestock dog. So they will make sure that nobody gets in on the property. They will make sure that if there's coyotes, they'll either chase them off or kill them. They're ferocious. And that's another great reason to have two, because when they operate, and you can see these two puppies, even at their age, work as they're moving along, they're literally, it's like watching a synchronous dance with these two. Tonight, there was a deer that when we were hiking down below the property, two whitetail jumped out in front of us. Ezekiel immediately started barking and pointing towards the deer, and Nika, which is really interesting, stayed behind him and then pivoted and looked to the back to make sure nothing was coming from the back end. And watching them, it's like watching a special team of soldiers working. They really have that synchronous nature to them, always checking with one another and always working together nicely. So they've done extremely well. They're a very, very interesting breed in that sense. And it intrigues me to the level of how much is in their, actually in their breeding to where they are now. Now the name, the term Mastiff, was assigned by the Europeans who first came to Tibet, because that name was used to refer to nearly all large dog breeds in the West. Early Western visitors, however, in Tibet, misnamed several of its breeds, such as the Tibetan Terrier, which it is not a terrier, or the Tibetan Spaniel, which it is not a spaniel. The better name for the breed, actually, is some people say, is actually a Tibetan Mountain Dog, or if they want to encompass a landrace breed throughout its range, then it would be the Himalayan Mountain Dog. The name Tibetan Mastiff is what it's known as, but probably more accurate would be Tibetan Mountain Dog. Very fascinating animal. The profile of these dogs is very much, if you know what a chow looks like, they have very much of a chow profile. They are very agile. They have extremely powerful shoulders, which I can attest to now having walked. This whole last week, I sat here last night and I was literally like, why am I so tired and so sore? Realizing all of a sudden that I have literally been doing isometrics with two dogs that are constantly pulling in different direction, 30 to 35 pounds. And that's it. Now keep that in mind. That 13 weeks, they're about 30 to 35 pounds. And you feel it and see it. Last night, if you were watching the Zoom on our Gospel of Peace, you would have seen I brought Ezekiel and I brought Nika up on my lap. They're big dogs. They're big. In fact, I was doing something here in this kind of makeshift desk I have here at Mandolin Farms right now, and I turned around. I felt something, and I turned around, and there is Ezekiel with his paws on the edge of the chair, and I'm looking at him straight in his face, and I'm thinking to myself, this is literally, he's a puppy, 100% puppy through and through, but the size of what some breeds are in their full size, and that's about 35 to 40 pounds. Pretty amazing. They are, another thing about them, they refer to them as kind of the cat of the dog breed. So they don't tend to do a lot of the typical puppy cuddling, but they love to be petted. They love to have their back scratched. They love to be brought into your lap, but they won't initiate much of it. They will definitely prefer to be on their own unless you pull them in, and then they're happy to be there. And then they tend to like to stay there for a little bit. So they'll end up sleeping with me at a certain point. Crating is important for a couple of reasons. Having a crate gives them a lot of calm and stability, especially with this breed, since they are an ancient breed and they have still a lot of the old traits to them. It feels like their den. So if they get a little agitated and you put them in the crate, they tend to calm down very quickly and tend to sleep and be very content with that. They love to chew on bully sticks, and they will go through them. They can burn through one of them in a day easily. I will taper down the number that they get. For right now, they're one of the best methods as we travel to keep their stress low. And that's a big thing about them. They are Their stress has been relatively well managed at this point in time. I came with a dozen foot-long bully sticks. I think I'm down to two. And that's splitting them in half. They just burn through them. And the other interesting thing about this is puppies, they eat the normal puppy amount of food. As adults, they tend to eat less for their size. Now, they will grow to be about 100 to about 125 pounds. My guess is Nika will be in the range of 100 to 110. And Ezekiel will push between 110 and to up to 125. He's got that build to him and he's bigger. And just in stature, you can see it. So there'll be a sizable dog. And I think, you know, as one person wrote, it's like when you encounter a Tibetan Mastiff and you see the size and the intensity of that dog, it tends to just be a very intimidating experience. And they will, and you have to let them, you tend to encourage people to move on their way, I guess is how they put it. What's interesting is they are not a dog that you will train to do, say, what Joe, Pete's dog, does. They are not an attack dog. They are not a dog designed to be used in military type operations or with, you know, the high precision of the commands. Again, they tend to be relatively much more independent than other dogs. And that creates a very interesting dynamic in training. And I'll be honest with you, I've been going through a lot of material, and there just isn't a lot out there on how one trains Tibetan Mastiffs, other than to observe them and then to try to really take the best practices you can and then apply them to the animal. The basics are always there, and you need to always train the basics, your basic commands. But they really pay a lot of attention to me, and they read my emotions even now. So if I end up getting agitated, they get agitated, and it's almost immediate. And I know that can be said for any dog, but this is amplified in a different level. And when they start to get a sense, as an example, walking today, and this is just after a week, and that's why I say this is quite amazing to observe this. We're walking today, and I was walking a little slower. Their pace is now matching mine. I sat down on the grass, they sat down, and they waited with me calmly as puppies. That's amazing. Once we get past certain points in on the walk, then somewhere in there, one or the other decides it's time to start attacking the other, and we end up with this crazy World Wrestling Federation level wrestling match between the two that goes on for about 15 minutes, and then they're completely exhausted, and they are ready for a quick feed and a good nap, which is always pleasant in all they do. So anyway, an amazing breed of animal, and they are now officially part of my life. They're going to be, you'll see them around. I'll bring them to Bard's Fest, and you'll be seeing them more. They are they'll be an integral part of the livestock protection, especially since we lost one calf to coyotes. There's coyotes here at Mandolin Farm, and they'll be an integral part of that. It's an amazing gift, and I'm blessed. And it's really through Susan listening to what God put to her, God provided two amazing dogs, which I think are going to be an amazing story and journey as we go forward. Nikki will be posting photos if you're interested, and there'll be some additional work here as we move forward with the animals. Now, Expedition Cafe, this show, and it's we're going to be taking a kind of a new leap with this show in the next, somewhere around mid-June. And so here's kind of the direction this is going. This show is going to become both a video and audio show by somewhere around June is where my target is. It could be as late as July, but here's what's happening. I'm going to be taking this different approach. I'm going to be looking at a few things in my life that I'm regularly doing. We've had features of musicians and things like that, which I will continue with as those events come up. But it will be integrated into other stories, and there will be more video stories, and the narration will be the audio story. The focus is going to be hunting, it's going to be livestock, it's going to be the dogs, and it's going to be the travels we take together, which leads us to places. And all of that is going to be part of the Sunday night feature. So this is something that will begin happening, like I said, probably second week in June, if all goes right. And these stories will be nice video stories, and obviously very family friendly, very much out of the realm of politics, more into the realm of life in the earth is where I'm looking at. And again, that's the intention here, to kind of awaken and inspire a new level of interest to go far beyond just and where we always seem to settle, which is a lot of politics and sometimes not enough of the faith that takes the form of life and living faith and walking faith. And that's what these two dogs represent for me, is a significant shift in a life pattern where they become part of a walk and a story that I'll be telling, and including as this story ties in with Mandolin Farms, as it ties in with the property in Oregon, as it ties in with the travels that we take together, as it ties in with hunting, as it ties in with butchery, as it ties in with the ranch and the things that go on there, and even the things that go on here. So these are the sort of stories now that's going, the Expedition Cafe is going to take on, with a higher emphasis on that outdoors element, getting into the world, being in the world, and experiencing the world, not in the technological world, but more in the world of the life on a small ranch, the life on a small farm, the life in hunting, the life in what it is to be living as we should be, I guess, and less dependent on the stores and much more interested and embedded in the sort of skills that awaken the senses of the hunter in us all. So anyway, there's your story tonight. The Tibetan Mastiff, an amazing breed, amazing two animals. Ezekiel has grown about 5 pounds this week at least. A very blessed gift and a very honored gift. Dogs, obviously, as you all, we all know, are a huge part of our lives, and it's been a long time since I've had one. Very excited to have two now, and it will be just an ongoing story as they grow and I grow with them. So, Patriots, with that, let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you this evening for the time we've had here together, and we just want to thank you for the blessings that you continue to shower upon us. And just a special thanks this evening, Father, for the gift given of these two beautiful animals that are now a big part of my life. And may the blessings fall wonderfully on the Worrell family that has allowed this to happen and made the decision to have this happen. May you bless them, guide them, and continue to provide all that they need as they grow this model out of self-sufficiency and farming, including the breeding programs that they have both in cattle and in livestock animals and as the dogs. So we're blessed to have such a community as we have that continues to seek and strive for the ancient paths. And may we all continue to reach there and seek there, and to guide us in this time to open our hearts and to the possibilities of literally breaking free from a matrix of imprisonment and instead live in the world with you in all things, to put our hand in the soil, to literally forge a way forward in such a way that we get closer to you and further away from the technological matrix which seems to want to encapsulate all of us. So again, Father, thank you, and we're blessed for all that you bring. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Patriots, we had a really amazing prayer when worship and healing this morning. We keep our prayers up for people. If you get a chance, re-listen to that show. It was a lot of amazing testimonies, too, at the very beginning, which were very powerful. And with that, last point, we do have the dates for Bard's Fest this summer, and that will be the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th right here at Mandolin Farms. We're going to have a massive, what I think will be a very impressive 4th of July fireworks display, and a really awesome concert that night, too, for 4th of July. And more details to follow on that. So that's it. Tomorrow, start heading back. And for those that are traveling tonight, like Nikki, prayers up for you. God just keep them safe. And we'll see you tomorrow morning. So, Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I will see you tomorrow morning for Bended Knee. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
Chasing mountains I can't climb, holding out for heroes in the night. I find myself here in the dark. We learn to fight and learn who we are, but I am raised up to face the stars. Sometimes it takes all you get to be.